Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And Del Torre.
Same corner, same time. We back at it. Beautiful Monday morning, fresh off of 4th of July. Did y'all get it popping with the firecrackers this weekend? Or during the week?
I did. I didn't.
No cannon.
Did not light off any fireworks. Watched some from afar. So where I live is right next to where all of the people come to watch fireworks here. And I wanted to get out of that mess, so we went to a friend's house to watch them from afar. But I've seen enough fireworks in my day. And then of course Instagram probably put about 17 hours worth of fireworks into my feed.
Oh, that's so the worst, man.
They just never look good, right? They just don't look like what you think they do when you're taking the video, right? Yeah. Do you
that, on social media, put that up there with the 400 updates on Instagram story from a concert.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Concert's okay. I don't mind. It depends on the concert. And you can't overdo it with a concert.
You're sitting. 40, 50, you can't be in the cheap seats.
Cannot
you're
be
drunk and you're screaming into your phone. It's just not good.
Whenever I see Dan concert shit, it'd be a vibe. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd be like, okay, I wish a little FOMO jumps in when I see Dan that one. Good seats. He's not too excited. Just maybe five clips and he's out of there. You know, five is pushing it. Maybe 2-3 from Dan. Okay, it looked like a dope concert.
Yeah.
Well, the way Dan goes to concerts, you know, there's caviar, champagne, box seats, right, and or sitting next to the stage. It's uncouth to yell in those seats. So correct.
That's true, too.
Yeah, there's it's decorum like in those seats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are you standing up, sir?
please. Yes. Guys, I'm making a video. If we could keep it quiet.
Let the blue collar worker into our seats. Get him out
I'm
of
making
here.
A video. Can you keep it quiet?
Can you guys give me a couple minutes? Let me get a couple good shots here. No,
I hate fireworks, and like I'd rather the shows and then it just be over. But the neighborhood firework poppers, they'd be going into like 3 a.m.
When did they start in your neighborhood and when have they ended? Like I had fireworks
July 3rd. Yeah,
we had July 2nd fireworks, and last night I was walking the dog and I was still hearing them. I'm like, all right, guys, like we got the point. America, freedom, like we did it.
we did it.
Shout out to us, right? But let's, you know.
Dan continues up, 2 weeks. 2 weeks in a row, Dan takes the "I hate America" stance. One,
no.
Cannon. Two, no cannon. Please no stop cannon. Celebrating our freedom.
I mean, if you're gonna light off a firework, at least go
on July 4th.
I mean, to me, that doesn't show that you love America if you light off just one firework. You know what I mean? Now you're just a nuisance. If you light off a whole barrage of fireworks, that's the American pride I need. So, you know, if you're gonna do it, go all in, but no pussyfooting around. You know,
100%. I'm with you on that, man. But overall, good week. Didn't get into a whole lot over the weekend. Fishing. That's just been the story of my life. Just fishing. Tried to get a little break. My son was hassling me. Had a friend come into town. 4th of July also brings a lot of like family on vacation. So seen a few friends and just did some saltwater fishing instead of freshwater fishing. Caught a few snappers, man.
That's good.
Yeah.
I saw that you were looking to maybe catch some new types of fish.
Yeah,
did snappers. You tweet something about it? Yeah.
Salt water altogether, but snapper is probably one of my favorite fish to eat. That and grouper is my bag. But we've been catching a lot of fresh water. I don't really eat the bass and anything that come out of the fresh water. I don't trust these canals and whatnot. So we've just been catch and release. So my son wanted to do some more bass fishing. And there's also no breeze inland, man. I was like, yo, let's get on the ocean in the coast to catch a breeze. And also we can scale and fry this sucker up when we're done, you know?
We need to get somebody on a charter so Silk can take Harlem and they can go out, catch some tuna, some marlin, some barracuda, really just get after it out there. You're not really fishing at that point. You're just like riding along and hoping that something catches on. But I'll tell you what, when you bring a wahoo in, that's a cool feeling, right? Like even if you didn't cast it, you know, you bringing it in.
Bringing it,
it's a cool feeling.
That's what he keeps saying.
It's cool. We did that down in Bimini. It's cool just being on the boat because that's a lot of fish that is going straight home with you. I don't need to do the work. I can watch you reel it in. That's fine.
I mean, some of these charters let you scale it up and fish it right there on the boat, depending on which one.
Yeah, the captain that we paid to take us out there can scale it up and
fillet
that for me. And we're not, listen, like,
that's like fishing, like Dan goes to concerts. That's what that's like right there.
Yeah. Like when I was born, my dad's a lawyer. When I was born, the doctor's like, "Hey, do you want to cut the umbilical cord?" And he's like, "I don't let my clients give, the final, the final, whatever it's called, the final saying at the end of trial. You go ahead and finish what you started."
That's
like if the boat captain was like, "Hey, do you want to scale this fish?" I was like, "Absolutely not." You go ahead.
Scale one fish, you scale another. I've had the experience before.
No, thank you.
How was your weekend, Nick?
Good, good. My 12-year-old pug has learned to bark at fireworks from the 3-year-old old English sheepdog, which is not good. We went 9-10 years with July 4th being fine. Bring a very specific breed from a breeder. Not going to say that there's inbreeding, but these are very beautiful dogs, show dogs, a little neurotic.
And a little.
The old, you met Norman. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was being nice. Definitely some neurotic behavior has passed on to poor Boomer.
Oh, man. Well, hope you guys had a fun 4th. It seems like you did. Corey, I'm looking forward to watching you and your son's show on the Fishing Channel in the next 5 or 10 years. You can replace that one guy that used to wear the Tennessee hat, you know? You know what guy I'm talking about?
If he's wearing a Tennessee hat, we can't.
I don't even know if he's still alive. This would have been like 30 years ago. So I'm dating myself here. But anyway.
We replaced the hood fishing guy. Have you seen the hood fishing guy on IG?
No. Have you ever seen the hood golfer guy? No, that guy's great.
Yeah. Send me that and I'll send you the hood fishing guy, man.
I don't know.
I gotta find RNG. I can't remember his name, but we can't say it.
I see. RNG. Yeah. I pick up.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta check him out.
He took off. He's got a whole merch line. He went to like a PGA Tour event. Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau. Like, guys are like, "Oh my God, there you are. What's up?" He is hilarious with his, sound effects and sayings.
They're incredible.
I got to tap in with him. Ban Raw Diets in the comments said CBD is great for dogs with anxiety. Coming right on down, Nick.
The CBD, we tried that last year. My wife, in all of her wisdom and glory, decided to bring Norman to Depot Park, which is sort of downtown in Gainesville, to the fireworks show. Or actually, that was New Year's. Decided to bring him to the park, gave him some CBD. It just made him paranoid, and he took off running. So we went with an all natural approach. Just let him sit there with his anxiety, and he just ran into our closet. So Norman was fine. Boomer was sitting there barking. So it was.
You might have to go straight to the THC for him, man.
Just hot box Norman.
Hot box Norman.
Yeah, hot box Norman. Yeah. Oh man, God, we got the title of the show already. Normally, we don't get towards the end of the show. All right. Let's see. Harrison, thanks for tuning in. Where do you think Harrison's jet setting off to? Probably his chateau in France today. And then Caleb, you know, yes.
It's probably getting a little too close for the Olympics, and there's too many people.
Too many crowd.
Near his chateau. Yeah. Maybe Switzerland.
That. Yeah.
Switzerland.
Monaco. Yeah. And then Caleb. Yeah. Yes, Bill Dance was the guy I was talking about for the fishing show. Silk, I think you'll remember this guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Get him out of here.
Yeah, get him out of here. So you and Harlem can take over. We got a good show today. We got Adam Lichtenstein from Lichtenstein or Lichtenstein? I'm going to go Steen. Yeah, Lichtenstein's the country. Lichtenstein is the Sun Sentinel writer. So we are going to talk about the Miami-Florida game that is taking place August 31st. In what I can imagine is going to be the quintessential swampy condition that you could ever imagine. So, but before we bring him onto the show, we do want to give a quick ad read to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. If you are looking for the best cups in the game, go check out Game Time Sidekicks. I got this one right here. One of my favorites that I've had has a cool honeycomb pattern, but great products, really good. Especially for the price, great product for the price. They're going to be cheaper than what you might be used to spending on some of the bigger name store brand ones that have gone popular in the past, but you're going to get quality just as good. Keeps your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Go check them out, GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15. You'll get 15% off of your order. A lot of things for the University of Florida, a lot of things for a lot of other schools.
Perfect tailgate cut.
I was just going to say, you're going to need one of these for this game against Miami. You're going to probably need a cup like this until November when you're in Gainesville. Solo cups are great.
You need a cup for life, man. Like,
yeah. Solo coffee. Cups are great, but.
Yeah. You can't be out here as a regular, casual with a regular solo cup. But I've been using mine. That's why I don't have mine. I need to wash. And he gave me like 10 of them, and are they dishwasher safe? I hope so, because I put them in the dishwasher. But I take mine fishing like every single time, man. Keeps it my drink cold. Ice don't even melt. I'm out there 6-7 hours. When I get back in the car, my drink is gone, but the ice is still there, bro.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
And it has one of the tops that you can close, which is nice, because I know a lot of them out there, they sit open. So that's nice. Just a really great product. You know, perhaps you buy, what would you need, 12? 14? You'd need 14 of them. Maybe you play your beer pong in these when you're tailgating in Gainesville. Just a few different ideas of what you could do here. Maybe you're just a good friend. Maybe you have a family member that's having a birthday. The Christmas holiday is literally just around the corner. So it's time to start thinking. GameTimeSidekicks.com, Stadium 15 at checkout will get you 15% off of your order. We talked a little bit about it last week, but I do want to give kudos to every single person that made the Olympics that's associated with the University of Florida. So if you guys have 3 minutes, I'm going to run through all 34 of these players. Mahamar, diving, Egypt. Julie Brousseau, swimming, Canada.
Loidrika,
say what? Oh, there's going to be a lot of ops on here. So
yeah, not a lot of people, runners.
I see.
So there's going to be a lot of people we say, hey, that's, I'm proud of you for going to UF, but I can't root for you.
Yeah, we got to run down on you.
Yeah, Paris, we got to run down. I feel bad it's you. You know what I mean? I'll cheer for you otherwise, but I feel bad it's you. Loidrika Cameron, track and field. Jamaica, Anna Hall, track and field. Good old US of A. Genevieve Lacraze Gregson, marathon, Australia. Adriana Leon, soccer, Canada. Nicole Meyer, swimming, Germany. She's an incoming graduate transfer to UF. Jasmine Moore, track and field, United States. Deanne Rose, soccer, Canada. Grace Stark, track and field, USA. Parker Valby, track and field, USA. Alita Van Dalen, track and field, Netherlands. Emma Wyant, swimming, United States, and Leanne Wong, United States. So that is the females. Congratulations to all of them. For the men, Amro Alweer, swimming, Jordan. Emmanuel Bamadeli, track and field, Nigeria. Kenyon Barry, remember him. Basketball, 3-on-3 basketball for the United States. If you're wondering,
did you know that his dad played in the NBA and shot free throws underhanded?
I did. And Canyon Berry is still doing the underhand free throw. Did you know that Riley Cooper was Tim Tebow's roommate?
That can't be true.
Okay.
I've never heard that before.
Nick Kalathis, basketball, Greece. Malcolm Clemens, track and field, USA. Caleb Dressel, swimming, USA. Joseph Fanbula, track and field, Liberia. Robert Fink, swimming, United States. Eddie Garcia, track and field, U.S. Virgin Islands. Grant Holloway, track and field, USA. Josh Liendo, swimming, Canada. Johnny Marshall, swimming, Great Britain. Alberto Mestre, swimming, Venezuela. Javon Powell, track and field, Jamaica. Alex Savickas, swimming, Lithuania. Kieran Smith, swimming, United States. Alejandro Tosti, golf, Argentina. Camila Vegas, golf, Colombia. And Luca Whitlock, swimming, United States. Incoming freshman, he is. So I did a really good job, I hope, of pronouncing their names. If I was wrong, which no doubt I am, I apologize. But congratulations to all them.
We got Keith
that, I told
all the way from the Britain.
I told Silk.
I haven't seen Keaton in a long time here.
I see him on IG all the time. But y'all the ops in Paris, Keaton. Yeah. All love, you know, but we got to wave this flag in Paris.
Yeah, yeah. Just like we waved the flag for an entire weekend here. 4-day bender weekend in America. Yeah. We appreciate you.
I was work on the 4th.
And
wouldn't
the 5th.
Know anything about it.
And we ran down on Canada with Kendrick Lamar's diss, man. Like, shout out to that.
Man, I threw an entire bottle of Snapple into the ocean on July 4th. Take that and your tea.
There's no countries that have created more Independence Days than Great Britain has around the world.
That's hilarious. I put silk on it. That is hilarious. I put silk on this, so I'm going to put everyone listening on. Sprint on Netflix. Really,
fire.
Really well done documentary.
Fire.
And it reminded me, I think it's one of the coolest tattoos you can get. Noah Lyles has the Olympic rings. I think he was training. He has them on his ribs. I think that's one of the coolest tattoos you can get. Getting to the Olympics for whatever country is an incredible feat. And I think that's the tattoo you have to earn. You can't go get an Olympic ring face tat right now. So,
no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Here. Well, we are joined. We are going to break down until the season starts the next 6-7 weeks or so. We're going to break down each of the Gators opponents. We're going to try to bring on a beat writer for each of those programs. Somebody that knows a little bit more about that program than we do. So we can break down how the Gators are going to fare against their opponents this season. The first one is Adam Lichtenstein. He is from the Sun Sentinel. He's going to join us now. Longtime friend of the program, friend of Nick, UF grad as well. But we want to bring on Adam to discuss the Miami Hurricanes, Cam Ward, Mario Cristobal. Maybe, who knows, we'll get a dig or two about John Ruiz in here while we're here. So, Adam, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Stadium Gale. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, yeah, glad to be on. Although I'd rather talk about Not Like Us. Like, the video was awesome.
Was it not fire? It was like so much art, bro. It was crazy.
He's hitting an Al Pinata. There's an Al in a cage later.
When he was hitting the hopscotch, I literally went, oh my God.
That's crazy.
But what happened? Kendrick Lamar released a music video for Not Like Us?
Yeah. Kendrick exhumed the body and is dragging it around Toronto and the West Coast.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love to see it, you know, especially on July 4th. You know, American exceptionalism is loud and proud.
For sure.
Nuts.
Yeah, all right. Adam,
it was great art, man. Like from start to finish is a lot to like dissect and unpack. When I first saw it, I was like, this is kind of stale, you know, like just watching how slow-mo it was moving. I don't want to get deep diving into this, but you know, as I kept watching, I started seeing cargo boxes and I was like, yo, this is next level. Anywho, go check out the video if you haven't.
I love it. So, Adam, want to discuss Florida Gators' first game of the year is going to be against the Miami Hurricanes in Gainesville, August 31st at 3:30 p.m. We have talked, you know, pretty extensively on this show during the offseason about who the Gators are going to face, the difficulty of the schedule, and then ultimately a discussion is the Miami game the most important game on the Gators' schedule, at least for the beginning of the season, to set the tone and what that future might bring. This game has been called the Battle of Mid. This game has said whatever coach loses has the hottest hot seat in America. So a lot of storylines around this. So excited to dive in a bit about the Miami Hurricanes. Probably first things first, first couple seasons under Mario Cristobal, Miami probably hasn't had the record that many fans wanted or expected. Recruiting has gone well. There's been a lot of transfers in. There's also been a lot of transfers out. Big fish Cam Ward from Washington State joins the program this year. So I say all that to say, give us kind of the high-level overview of what Miami thinks about themselves and how they're preparing for this upcoming season.
Well, I definitely think that they believe they're a competitive team this year, and I believe that too. I think this team has got a ton of talent. They've got talent in, like, the crucial positions like quarterback, offensive line, you know, defensive line. That I think they think they're going to take a really big leap this year. And I believe that too. I bought into the Kool-Aid a bit my first year on the beat in 2022. Last year, I didn't as much, and that kind of panned out, although there was improvement. But this year, I think the program believes they're going to take a big leap, and I kind of agree with that. I think this team's in a really, really good spot this year.
Go ahead, Dan.
No, go ahead.
How do you feel on Cam Ward's first year? I know a lot of first-year guys. You look at LSU's quarterback. I'm forgetting his name.
Jaden Daniels.
Even Graham Mertz or anybody that has transferred.
Joe Burrow.
Second years were good. You know, first year was solid, not bad, but it wasn't like championship run type caliber of display of talent, football, whatever you want to call it. How do you feel with Cam Ward's first year being the quarterback, them having the Kool-Aid out, trying to, you know, get the playoff talk going? Do you think year one is enough time for him to be able to execute that and also game one in the swamp, first go at it? How do you feel about that?
I think it's going to have to be because he's not going to have a second year at Miami. You know, I think this is his last year of eligibility. Although the COVID year makes everything more complicated, but I think this will be his only year. And even if he does have another year of eligibility possible, I don't think he wants that. I think he wants to go to the NFL. That's why he declared for the draft to start and then changed his mind. I think he wants to be a one and done at Miami. And I think he's definitely capable of having a really strong one season at UM. I mean, first off, the big thing is he was there for spring. You know, UM brought back, there was some continuity with offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson back for a second year. A lot of the wide receivers are back, you know, guys who have been in the system. So that helps. So there's a lot of continuity around him, even if he's new to the team. And I think he's building that bond pretty quickly. Like, it seemed like there's a lot made of UM's top receiver, Xavier Restrepo, and his bond with Tyler Van Dyke, their former quarterback. They were roommates and all that stuff, and all the stuff that the cliche and stuff. But when we talked to Restrepo in the spring, he was like, well, it's not like my girlfriend left, you know, he's a friend of mine, and I wish him the best, but, you know, Cam Ward's the quarterback now, and I'm, you know, excited to work with him, and yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, I think they built that throughout the spring. Cam Ward looked really good in the spring game. So I think he's had enough, there's enough continuity around him, and he's talented enough to be a very, an impact player, even if he only plays 1 year at Miami.
He got a whole new Pilates partner.
Yeah.
Just went up and forgot who he'd been doing Pilates with. It's crazy. Cam Ward is, and I warned Florida fans who are making jokes about Jordan Travis's age, because Jordan Travis is, I think, 6 months older than Graham Mertz, who will be 24 before bowl season this year. But Cam Ward, I think, would have another year. His first year was 2020, so it doesn't count. So he played in 21, 22, 23. I guess, no, this would be his fourth year.
Who knows?
The COVID year.
Yeah, the COVID year makes everything weird, and I assume anyone who wants another year can take it. I don't know. Cam McCormick is back for his ninth season, so who can say?
Man, my son's gonna get a COVID year when he get to college. I could tell.
Yeah. Anyway. I think I have 1 year of eligibility left.
Yeah, we all do.
What is so the part of that too with what Silk was saying? I think, and when we've talked to Graham Mertz here in Gainesville, this spring he said, you know, hey, this time last year I was still learning guys' names. Now I have command of the offense. I have timing and chemistry, and it's so much different. How much can we expect from Cam Ward? I mean, he is a touchdown maker. I think he averaged 2.5 a game on his own at Washington State in the Pac-10, 12 minus 10. And he gets in the end zone, but how much can you expect from him in his first game and it being on the road in front of roughly 80,000 more fans than he'll play for at Dolphin Stadium?
It's Hard Rock now. It's Hard Rock now. Get that right.
Wow. It's Joe Robbie.
Joe Robbie, that's right.
Showing your age, bro. You're showing your age with that Joe Robbie.
In my heart, it's always Pro Player Stadium. But
you showing your age.
That's younger, yeah.
My favorite change is when they went from Dolphins Stadium to Dolphin Stadium.
Dolphins.
Huge deal.
But it's kind of it's a tough question because we're not going to know until he's lined up in the swamp, you know, whether or not he's ready, you know, and the chemistry is there and all that. Like, we're just not going to know because, you know, we can see him in practice. He's going against his teammates who he's been going against for, you know, in August, it'll be like 8 months or 9 months or whatever. And it's not as intense as a game. And we're just not going to know. Like I said, I do think he is building that chemistry. Like, there was a lot of talk of that in the spring that, you know, that Cam got down here and he, like, one of the first things he did was host all the offensive players or all the skill players for a Super Bowl party and, like, took all the offensive linemen out to dinner, which I'm sure that was a, you know, 4 or 5 figure bill.
Look at NIL working.
Yeah. Look, it pays off. But it's impossible to say until we see that on August 31st. But I think, I mean, as much as anybody can be ready to go in their first year with the team, I think he is. Like, he seems to have a pretty good grasp of the offense. I don't think the offense is like, I'm not an X's and O's guy. I'm not like the big, you know, I'm not a ski. Like, I don't pretend to know that stuff as well as a coach does, but I don't think the Washington State offense was dramatically different than what Shannon Dawson wants to run. It's kind of a similar vibe, similar schemes, even if it's not the exact same playbook. So I think he'll get in well. I think he's learned the playbook pretty well. From what I tell, and he's a veteran guy. He's not, you know, we're not talking about a freshman transferring into his sophomore year and stuff. So I think he's got a pretty good grasp on it. And, you know, like I said, we'll see for sure in the swamp.
I guess my questions are, he seems to be a guy that turns the ball over a bit, takes a bunch of sacks throughout his career. I think he had 42 years ago and 39 last year.
Yeah, more than Graham Mertz, who spent the entire season on his back.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, easy, Nick. Is that something that you think is a talent deficiency in a Washington State, or was it Houston before? Is Miami prepared for that? Are they prepared for a quarterback that is going to be more mobile, maybe holds onto the ball a little bit longer? How do they anticipate maybe trying to cut down on that number of sacks per game?
I think one, Miami's offensive line should be pretty good this year. They were really good last year, and I was just impressed. Like, they started all 5 linemen last year for every game until the bowl game, which they were a very, very impressive unit last year. And they returned 3 of the 5 guys. They returned Jalen Rivers and Francis Mawinoa on the edges and Inez Cooper at guard, brought in Zach Carpenter to play center. And then left guard's kind of an open battle between whether it'll be Samson Okunlola, one of the other younger linemen or somebody else, but it should be a pretty solid unit again. So I think that's going to help. I mean, he has had issues in the past holding on to the football. He's fumbled a lot. I don't remember the exact number, but I know it came up when we spoke to Shannon Dawson in the spring, when we spoke to Cam Ward in the spring. It's something he's got to work on. I think having a talented offensive line in front of him will help, you know, whether that's, you know, keeping him off his back and lowering the sack numbers. But it is something he has to work on, and we'll see how much it crops up, because he did fumble a lot. Like, there, I think he had multiple games with multiple fumbles, and if you're playing, you know, in a competitive ACC and you're trying to get to the ACC title game in the playoffs, like, you can't be fumbling the ball in the pocket 2-3 times a game. You just can't do that.
Yeah, he has fumbled, I just found, 46 times.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot of fumbles, dude.
I like that.
He's played a lot of football.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but like that's still like 10.
I mean, that's not good. I get that.
What is he played, like, 4 years or 5 years already? So I mean, he's four. Okay, so he's averaging more than 11 fumbles a season.
It's not great.
No, that's one per game.
It's actually terrible.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's actually pretty terrible.
I don't know if I've seen a quarterback fumble that many times in my life combined. But
that's like the old school coach would make you like walk around campus with a football that has like your name on it, and if one of your teammates brings that football to the coach, it means he got it away from you. Like you're just running during practice.
Yeah,
I love the pettiness of that. I remember that in high school. My best friend was the quarterback, and he had some fumbling issues, so he had to walk around the football for an entire week.
Yeah,
kind of slap it out of his hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not ideal. I think it's something they're working on, and I think having a good offensive line in front of him will help bring that down a bit.
What does
he didn't go to Miami, but maybe he needs to be like Teddy Two Gloves.
Maybe Teddy Two Gloves.
Some receiver gloves. A little spit. Hold on to that football.
Easy, Nick. Easy. Whoa. A little hot tool on the ball. So
that was crazy.
That's nuts.
That was crazy.
I'll see you guys next week. I'm gonna end on that.
It's just trying to keep the podcast relevant. You know what I mean? He's been throwing the ball somewhere between 38, 45-ish times per game. There's one game he threw it for 59. What do you think he's going to have in terms of number of throws per game? Is Miami going to be a more run-heavy offense, a more pass-heavy, pretty balanced? What should fans anticipate in that game?
Assuming everyone's healthy and we're kind of going with the – I mean, it'll be game one, so hopefully everyone's healthy for that. I think it'll be more balanced because UM has a really talented running back room. They brought in Damian Martinez from Oregon State, who's a 1,000-yard rusher. They bring back Mark Fletcher, who had a pretty solid freshman year. He was pretty banged up. He didn't play in the spring. The end of the year, he suffered, I think it was an ankle injury in the bowl game. But if he's healthy, he's a great, you know, second back to pair with Martinez. Very powerful running back. And then A.J. Allen's a pretty solid running back as well to have as your number three guy. So I think – and it's a Mario Cristobal, you know, Mario Cristobal team. Like, he's not going to air it out 60 times a game unless he – yeah, well, that too. But he's not going to want to throw 60 times in a game if he doesn't absolutely have to. So I think it'll be pretty balanced. I don't know if he'll throw it quite as much as he did at Washington State, but, I mean, he'll still probably throw 30-plus times a game. So I think you'll see a good share of the running game as long as it's working. But they're going to let him air the ball out a bit.
How much is that where you kind of see the strength of Miami right now? I think both lines of scrimmage, I might give Miami the nod. And then, you know, I think the running back rooms, both have very deep running back rooms. But is that kind of the strength of Miami's team, both lines of scrimmage?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, the O-line, like I said, you know, returns three starters, all of whom were pretty solid last year. And, like, one of them was, you know, a freshman All-American, Francis Maui-Noah. So you'd expect him to get better at right tackle. As long as the guys who they brought in, you know, either the younger guys or Zach Carpenter, the transfer at center, as long as they kind of, you know, play their role and stuff, I think the offensive line should be really good. And the defensive line, I mean, the defensive line, it's like a whole new unit. Like, I did a preview of them last week, and I was like, they only brought back, I think, 5 scholarship defensive linemen. They lost 12 in the portal, and they brought 12 in, you know, either as freshmen or through the portal. So it's like a whole new group. So and the players who they brought in, like, through the portal, I think almost all of them, if not all of them, were starters at their former stop. So, like, they're good, but I've never seen them play, so I can't say definitively, like, oh yeah, D-line's great, but I think it should be pretty good. I mean, they bring back Reuben Bain, who, you know, was a terror as a freshman, and I think he'll be even better. And if they have Akeem Mesidor back healthy, he barely played last year. He was really good in his first year at UM after transferring from West Virginia. So if everything's rolling, like, the defensive line should be a strength. But, you know, people get banged up, and guys adjust to a new system and all that, so hard to say, like, with 100% certainty, but I think they should be pretty good.
Mario has a reputation of like pulling the reins back or putting the cap on, you know, offense. Like you were saying, if he can run the ball, he's going to run the ball. How much of that does he have to change this year for Miami to be successful and to live up to a little bit of the preseason expectations?
I don't think he has to change per se. Like,
I hope he doesn't.
I don't think he has to because the running back room is so good. like that running back room can carry an offense if they're rolling. So like if they're cooking, like he'll keep running the ball. He'll run the ball down your throat. And like if it's working, great. What he has to, I guess what he and Shannon Dawson will have to do is that if they're getting stuffed, to let Cam Ward air the ball out. Like, don't be afraid to let him throw the ball. If he has to throw the ball 40 times a game to get the win, like, do it. Don't be a slave to the running game just for the sake of running the ball. I think that's the key. I don't think he has to deviate a ton because I do think that running back room is really good and they can, you know, do damage. But if they're not, if there's a, there's some games last year where they just were not getting anything going on the ground, and they just kind of kept going to it, waiting for, you know, a hole to open, waiting for that running back, those running backs to make something happen. It just kind of never did. And part of that was also because their passing game had a stretch last year where that was just awful. Tyler Van Dyke had a run, you know, during ACC play that was just abysmal. So they kind of had to rely on the running back room, and it wasn't always working. You would assume Cam Ward, being better than Tyler Van Dyke, won't have that kind of awful stretch, and they can switch around, you know, change things around more easily, but you can't let yourself get stuck in any one particular thing even when it stops working.
No doubt. What do you guys, how do you guys view our depth chart, or what do you hear from the Miami side with this game one? What fears you from the Florida roster?
Well, it's funny, because if you asked me that, like, 2-3 months ago, I'd have been like, Miami's going to win by 10 points. Like, this is not going to be a close game. I was not high on Florida at all. And then the transfer portal opened again. And I started thinking more about the Florida roster. And I'm like, okay, this team is better than I thought. There's more here than I originally thought. The biggest thing that would worry me from, if I'm Miami, the biggest thing that would worry me is the secondary versus Graham Mertz. Because Graham Mertz is a very good passer, very accurate. And Miami's cornerback room is probably, and its safety room, probably are its biggest weaknesses. They lost their two starting safeties to the NFL. They lost, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, one of their starting cornerbacks to the NFL. And I think a couple others to graduation who didn't latch on with an NFL team. So, like, they're basically returning one starting cornerback in their secondary. And they've got talent, but it's just not a lot of experience in those groups, not a lot of starting experience. So you're up in game one in the swamp, you know, like we talked about, and you're going against a quality veteran passer like Graham Mertz. Like, that's my biggest concern for the Hurricanes in that game, is whether Mertz can kind of pick apart that secondary. And if the Gators offensive line can hold up against UM's defensive line and give Mertz time, then I think that's the biggest thing that Florida can do to get a win, because I just don't know how the secondary is going to do. They don't have, like, they've got one guy who's like, oh yeah, that's the guy who's going to step up, who was a freshman last year, Damari Brown. Like, he's good, but he hasn't really been a starter. And they brought in Michelle Powell from Washington, who could play safety or nickel cornerback, and he's good as well, but it's his first game in the system and everything, his first game with UM, so TBD on that. Like, they've got guys, but I haven't really seen them do it, and it's gonna be a really good test for both teams. See whether they can, whether Mertz can pick them apart, or whether they can step up and perform at the level that I think the rest of the team probably will.
Man, you call Murder Mertz a very good passer, man. That was not the tune last year of everybody, man. So I like your honesty.
What was his completion percentage last year? It was like 75%, right?
Whoa. Like, listen.
All right, here's Nick.
We need to go into the stats. Like, when are just tossing a ball 7 inches forward to a streaking jet sweep, like that's a handoff.
Yeah, it's not so Wilson. Adam asked a specific question. The answer is his completion percentage was 72%.
Led the SEC.
He led the SEC, 20 interceptions, touchdowns, 3 interceptions. His long ball was 61 yards, 69.3 QBR. Nick's nice. Just a hater.
Maybe he's not a Heisman candidate, but he's a capable passer.
Oh, for sure.
No, I mean, Graham, he's definitely decently good.
Graham was.
I got him getting drafted like third, fourth round. Like, that's where I got him at. Like, I think he's going to be a quality draft pick too.
Graham did everything he was asked to do early on. And then when Florida got into, you know, the Arkansas, LSU, those games where it was like, hey, really it started at South Carolina where they you had to throw the ball late to win. And you saw Florida play this slow, plodding, run-first offense through the first half of the season. And the second half of the season was kind of like, if we're going to have any chance to win these games, we're going to have to air it out. And then Graham did that and did that well. So I think that's where the really the change, personally, my perception on Graham. Like, okay, Nick, they can he can win just, games with his arm.
You're just really hard to hang out with every week. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes you just they're hard to hang out with. Adam asked a very honest question, just what was his completion percentage? Then all of a sudden your PhD in Gator Haterade came out.
You got all the higher level analytical stats I think
Graham Mertz is the best quarterback in the stadium on August 31st. So take that.
Best quarterback in the state of Florida.
Negative Nick haters.
Interesting. Interesting.
How do you think the I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead. How do you think the 90,000 affects Miami? I know they used to seeing like 7 to 8 grand a week. Do you think the crowd becomes a factor for them? Communication wise, game.
Well,
one,
that's one thing. That's one thing I think is interesting because he's talking about all the new pieces in the secondary. It's probably better if you're new in the secondary communication wise to play your first game on the road because it's going to be quiet when you're out there and it's easier to talk and easier to communicate versus having a 22 year old.
You're going to find something every time, Dan. Every time.
That's something. I'm trying to think back the last 2 years. Like, what are some of the bigger environments they've played in? Like, they played at A&M in 2022, 106,000 people there. Yeah. And the crowd noise was a little bit of a factor, but it wasn't like the decisive thing.
Most overrated stadium in college football, in my opinion.
I disagree. I thought it was awesome when I went there. No. In comparison. But yeah. I'm trying to think where else they played. They played at, you know, at Virginia Tech, which is pretty loud. UNC wasn't crazy. But I think it'll probably be a factor. But if they get out to like an early lead, like say Miami goes up 10-3 or something. Say the Gators offense is the same kind of slow plodding kind of thing that doesn't get the crowd fired up and things kind of quiet down from 110 decibels to 95. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, that's a big factor. If, you know, Cam Ward gets picked off on his first drive and the crowd's going nuts, then that can play a role. But I think they can handle it. I mean, Cam Ward, I don't know his exact what road games he's played in off the top of my head, but he played in big environments.
His biggest ones, he played at Wisconsin and at USC. Those were the biggest environments he played in.
Probably Washington.
USC was
maybe at Oregon or at Washington. Yeah,
he played at Oregon.
Yeah, so like those are good environments.
Austin Stadium can get after it.
Yeah, it's not a huge stadium, but yeah, they can get loud. So I think it can be a factor. It just kind of depends on the flow of the game. But I think the players are pretty capable. I'm sure they'll be blasting, you know, crowd noise and practice and all that stuff that you do in the week leading up to it. But I don't know. We'll see. If the crowd's at its peak, I mean, I've been to Gators games. Like you said, I went there and stuff where it's you can't hear yourself think. And if it's that level of delirium, the standout experience for me was when Florida almost went up 14-3 on Bama in 2011. That was the loudest I ever heard that stadium.
Okay.
But if it's like that, then – yeah, I'm sure it can play a role. But if it's just normal swamp, I think they'll be okay.
There ain't no normal swamp.
Is that when Andre DeBose returned to kick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was DeBose returned to kick, and then Brantley threw a pass. I think it might have been also to DeBose that they called a touchdown on the field, and then it got like overturned on review or something. But for a moment, it was 14-3.
Yeah. I was lying. And
what a time.
I remember that night. Yeah.
What a time.
I expect a very loud – yeah, I expect a very loud building. I'm gonna be real with you. It's just a rivalry game. We don't play Miami all the time. The tickets are like sold out already.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a very rowdy crowd at 3:30, humid in the swamp.
Oh, it's gonna be miserable.
It's gonna be miserable weather wise, man. But it's gonna be one of them games, bro. And I think both coaches can go in the hot seat after this one. Like whoever loses this game, I'm not gonna say hot seat, but they're gonna. Well, Napier is definitely gonna be on the hot seat. I'm not gonna speak for Mario Cristobal, but he lose that game, is definitely going to draw some bad and negative attention from the supporters of Mario. So that game one is very important for both programs.
Yeah, and I mean, context is so important. I don't think Mario's going to be on the hot seat, even if they lose, like, one, because the rest of the schedule is not that hard. Like, they should be able to, even if they lose that game.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy schedule.
I pulled up the schedule. I mean,
it's not FAMU, that crazy.
Ball State, USF. I don't know what Cal is, but shout out to, I think, the Big
You don't
Ten
know what Cal is? The Cal.
I don't know what they are.
ACC, powerhouse.
Yeah.
The ACC powerhouse. Oh, Cal, Golden Bears.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot the long-standing ACC conference rivalry between Miami and Cal.
The All-Coast Conference, baby.
Yeah.
But
Georgia Tech, Syracuse.
Their schedule is pretty manageable as opposed to Florida's, which is very not. So, I mean, if even if Miami loses this game, especially if it's a close game, like a good game, say, okay, you lost the game on the road to a rival in front of 90,000 people. Turn things around. You could still win 9-10 games, like, and still compete for the conference and the playoff. Whereas Florida, you lose
And you have that excuse of it's an away game.
Right.
Like, if this game was in the Miami Dolphins stadium, Florida has that excuse. Hey, it's first game. We're on the road. We had a bunch of transfers, a bunch of new guys playing in their first game. Lose to a rival on the road.
How can you possibly remember what jersey number everyone's wearing? And stuff?
Man, Miami fans gonna lose their mind when they lose this game. Like, the fans, the media, it's gonna be think pieces. Now, will he literally be on a hot seat and like possibly fired? I don't think that's gonna happen. But from a fan standpoint, to lose to Florida.
Oh yeah, people would obviously be pissed. I remember one thing that always stuck with me. I think it was in the Athletic piece about you guys, and about like how with the Big Three in Florida, Miami, Florida, and FSU, like, it's just always two against one. So like, whoever loses this game in week one, they're gonna just be hearing it all week on Twitter from everyone. It's gonna be nuts. Like, and it's gonna be, and that part's gonna be awesome. I just do think like, if I think Florida has more to lose in this game than Miami does.
I
agree with that. Like, look at the rest of Florida's schedule. Like, you got to catch wins early.
Yeah.
And I think especially for Florida, they struggle so much on the road. you have to get home wins. And getting a win over Miami is would be huge for Napier and the program. And like, I don't want to live on the message boards or on social media in a world where Florida starts 0-1.
Man, you're talking about some think pieces, and it's going to go crazy if we lose, to be real with you. Like, that seat's going to be scorching hot, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, are you waiting for this moment.
Are you guys, or do you think Mario is planning or in the back of his mind, a DJ Lagway package? He brings a different element to the table. I think DJ Lagway gets some totes and some snaps week one. Is that something you think you got those guys are prepped for?
You said DJ Lagway package. I thought you might have meant like to sway him to transfer after the year.
Whoa.
No, I mean, you have to. You have to be prepared for there's no film. You know, there's no breakdown of what they're going to do. You're coming into this game pretty much blind. So you have to be ready for DJ Lagway and prepare for him to have some kind of impact on the game, because you have no idea. You have to be watching that high school film, see what he can do, and go from there and prepare. You know, tell your players, get them ready. You know, show them film on Lagway from high school, and just be like, hey, this guy could come in and do some different things. So I think you have to.
Yeah, that's my X factor in the game right there. Is some DJ Lagway packages that nobody's really expecting. I think you got to get him on the field early. From a run game perspective, this offense runs different when you can RPO. Mertz is not a real threat to run. While he can run, but he's not a real threat. Lagway could come in if it's like third and short, like Tebow did early in his career, or goal line situations, whatever it may be. But I think he comes in and brings some wrinkles.
Yeah, get some 2006 vibes.
I mean, I don't have those vibes. I wish I had those vibes. I do not have those vibes right now, Adam. I'm gonna be real with you. Hoping for those vibes.
Is that, like, just looking at Mario, so, like, I think Mario and Billy are kind of tied together. They're both hired the same offseason. Both are under 500 heading into year three. So I've kind of called it, like, the Hope Bowl. Like, good luck selling hope the rest of the year if you lose this game. But if you look at Miami, like, if they just decide to take a knee, they have 8 wins last year. Is there a sense that Mario is on a hot seat at all this year? If, especially with a manageable schedule, if you go 6-6, 7-5 against what is perceived as a manageable schedule, do things get spicy at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think that if things go that badly, then yes, then I think this conversation is going. I don't know if the school would pull the trigger on it anytime soon, because that's a lot. I mean, that's more money than – this isn't the SEC. You know, guys aren't getting $70 million buyouts. So,
shout out to Jimbo. Jimbo, yeah.
Hey, man, good for him. Get that money. I would love to get paid $70 million to not work. But I just don't think they'd pull the trigger on that anytime soon. I think it would take at least another down year after this year to really – get things, you know, outside stuff notwithstanding, if something were like some scandal or something, but just in general, just from poor performance.
I see you're still scarred from your independent alligator days covering Florida, or
you never know,
off the field scandals.
Yeah, you never know. I remember I wrote something called The Incarcigators when I was bored one day in the summer. That was fun.
Oh, good. Good.
That's yeah, great. But I was bored and there was nothing to write about in the summer, but yeah, and I think if the season goes poorly and they like squeak into a bowl, you know, then it's a problem. Then we're talking about Cristobal on the hot seat. But it's a lot of money wrapped up in him, a lot of money wrapped up in the program. Now they invested a lot of money in the program after they got taken to task by Kirk Herbstreit on College Game Day. So like, I don't see it happening this year unless things go really, really wrong. And I just don't. I think the team is too good to be that bad. But it's Miami. You never know. That's happened before. I think this team's floor should be 8 wins. If they win fewer than 8 games, then there's something deeper. There's a deeper problem, and that's when things start getting heated up, I think.
Yeah, I think fans are gonna be mad with 8 wins as well.
They would be mad, but I think 8 win. You go 8-4. Fans will be mad, but it's progress, and
it's not gonna. Well, right,
they're recruiting well, and it's not going to get 8-4 is not would not be acceptable, really, but it also wouldn't get him on the hot seat, I don't think, just for performance. It's like 8-4 is like that gray area where people are pissed, but they're not going to fire him for that.
They'll probably start boycotting games, though.
How can you tell?
Do that.
Not showing
they do
up.
They do that at weekly.
Adam, you'll be back in Gainesville. What are you looking forward to going and seeing? By the way, significantly different.
That's what everyone tells me.
Since you were here.
Yeah, I haven't been back in Gainesville in 6 years. I was up there for the UFLSU game in 2018. Trying to think, like everything's gone. Like from what I hear, everything mm-hmm. From when I was a student, you know, everything's gone. But I'll have to make a pilgrimage to Satchel's. Like I know it's a cliche answer, but like since Leo's is gone, like I have to get over to Satchel's. I think what else?
I have a new best pizza in Gainesville. It's Ooh. Blue Highway.
I had Blue Highway before.
A little off the beaten path. It's over in Tioga, but best pizza in Gainesville.
Didn't they used to have something on 13th too? Or am I thinking of something different? Like down like towards Micanopy, like way down 13th. Maybe I'm misremembering. But yeah, Satchel's will be. I'll have to make a pilgrimage up there, get some pizza,
have a couple drinks inside a smoky salty.
Oh God! I was probably First Mag too. Got to hit up First Mag.
Mm. All right, we will bring you back on when we get closer to the season. You know, this is a far long look at the entire season we're about to do here. But I'm excited for that Week 1 game. If you're in town, definitely hit us up. We'll be tailgating and hanging out a little bit. So pull up on us.
Yeah, I gotta get back into football mode. I've been covering the Panthers for the last like 2 months. So
that's fun.
Covering a championship team, that's different for me.
Yeah.
Dan's actually from South Florida and has forsaken his home and a hockey guy and has forsaken his home town Panthers in favor of the not Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning.
What were you thinking?
You're muted, Dan. You're muted, Dan. It's probably better that way.
Nope. So, grew up a Panthers fan for the first 25 years of my life. They provided me nothing other than one disappointing Stanley Cup loss to the Colorado Avalanche when I was 8 years old. I moved to Tampa, went to a Lightning game, and I was like, oh, this is what hockey should feel like. So longest sellout streak in the NHL still.
I thought you were
congratulations to the Florida Panthers. Here. Really, really cool to get there first. I've seen the Lightning play in three, win two in my 10 years of being a fan. So that's been pretty cool too. But not hating on the Panthers, happy for them, and always enjoy keeping it out of Canada. Shout out to state income tax in Florida, helping the best player stay.
It's been a bad year for Canada, man. We went in hockey, Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. It's been a rough year for Canada, yeah, bro.
It has been a rough year for Canada.
Drake had a $500,000 bet on Edmonton, and he obviously lost that. And I was like, damn, it's rough when losing 500 grand is like the second worst thing to happen to you this summer.
not even your biggest L of the year.
Does he ever win? Like, I feel like every time I hear about Drake, he's losing.
Doing fine.
No, I mean, obviously, Nick.
Ron Sports, he's a curse for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man. Adam, let everybody know where they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, I'm mostly on Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it now. Twitter. To me. Just like the stadium's always pro player. You can follow me at AB Lichtenstein. You can read everything I write at sunsentinel.com. We're always running subscription deals. So if you want to read all about the Hurricane stuff, in the lead up to the game, you can subscribe probably for like a dollar for like a year. So just sign up, you know, it's a dollar. It's like one third of a cup of black coffee at Starbucks. So like make sure you check out my everything I'm writing. I won't be at ACC Media Days, but I'll be at, fall camp all August, sweating my butt off outside and looking forward to coming up there and into August.
Yeah, black coffee at Starbucks is also a wild decision.
I agree. If I go to Starbucks, I gotta get some milk and sugar in my coffee.
You gotta get all the shenanigans in it, man. You just can't be drinking that black. That's crazy.
Iced coffee.
I was gonna say it's like the price of like a half a cup of coffee. I was like, wait a second, no, my order at Starbucks is like $5 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just 30 ounces of black coffee that was $5. That's
love it. Well, Adam, we appreciate you. Have a great rest of your off season, and congrats on the Panthers winning. I'm sure that's cool to cover as a report writer. So.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. Game 7 was the coolest environment I've ever been in, but maybe August 31st will top that. We will see.
I tell people all the time.
Extravaganza, man. Come. Yeah, you pull up. You're going to see how we party out there. Big win, man.
We'll see what happens. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it, brother.
Have a good one, Adam.
What was I insane for, Tang?
Just everything. I do think that it was funny that, Corey, you mentioned to him about seeing how wild and crazy Florida gets when they win a game because he went to UF.
yeah.
So you have no idea how hard we party. So I do. But
yeah, a little bit. I was there, bro.
Yeah. Not during that time that he was there. Probably not, right?
Who do you have? McElwain?
Mustang McElwain years?
I don't know. I just pulled this up. My buddy was asking me.
Some good wins that year. Yeah, he said the DeBose game with Bama.
So well, no, he wasn't even a student in 2011, I don't think. Yeah. Adam was, I think.
It was, we were correct.
Might have been like Deontay 14 Thompson. To 17.
Deontay Thompson that had the kick return.
Florida is, I went and did the math. Florida is 80-58 in the 138 games they've played since I've been here. I have covered 11 seasons. 5 of them have been losing seasons, which is unbelievable.
So we know we need to get rid of
you.
At.
Yeah, we got to get rid of you.
Yeah. Listen, I'll go back and live in South Florida.
Cool.
I don't know if you want to cover FAU, down here, bro. This price is crazy.
You can go cover FAU.
Hey, if Lane goes back to FAU, I'll cover FAU.
Cost of living is nuts, man. You gonna miss them cheap beers in Gainesville real quick. when you go to a random bar and in a draft beer is $20. You're like, what the hell's going on here?
That's insane.
Yeah,
I got those are the same prices.
I got charged $27 for an espresso martini on Wednesday night. So,
sir,
what?
Yeah. Yeah, you're telling me. All right, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go check out alumnihall.com. Let them know Steve and Gail sent you. If you're looking for anything Florida Gators related, whether it be tailgating supplies and accessories, whether it's golf polos, whether it's gifts, T-shirts, anything for any sport, University of Florida, go check out Alumni Hall. They are on Archer Road in Gainesville, or they are online at alumnihall.com. Go check them out. Go support them. And also go support our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit them. Softest cotton in the game. Vintage logos. Anything that you could ever want and hope for University of Florida retro logos they have. And they're constantly releasing new products. Anything from one of those starter jacket looking products from that you saw and wore in the 90s to one of the baseball pullovers. That's just beautiful, really stand out, make you look real fresh in the fall, or anything. I think they've got about 18 or 20 different shirts, anything from short sleeve to three-quarter sleeve. Go check them out. University of Florida, as well as about 100 different schools. Homefieldapparel.com, promo code StadiumandGale at checkout will get you 15% off of your – I'm sorry, it'll get you 20% off of your order. Next game of the season – gentlemen, is Samford.
It was interesting a couple of years ago.
It was a very interesting game a few years ago. You might remember the Gators were in a dog fight. Dan Mullen's Florida Gators were in a dog fight against Samford.
And then live streamed Club Dove in the locker room.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just pull up that game.
That was wild. That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, so November 13th.
The SID's jobs are to, like, help us and, like, hey, here's a program record, career record. And they're, like, telling us this stuff. I'm like, hey, man, nobody cares that Emory Jones is getting close to breaking this school record in passing yards because it's the fourth quarter and he's thrown the ball 57 times against Samford.
Yeah. So I'll never forget. I was down in Miami for a wedding that weekend, and we were just going to go to the bar for a few hours to watch – before
watch the first half. Game.
Yeah, because we thought it would be like 36-0. Buddy, if the score wasn't 42-35 Samford at halftime, the Gators did win that game 70-52 after a heroic 35-point second half. Outscoring Samford 35-10 in the second half. In the only meeting the Gators have had against Samford, the Gators will then play them again week two. Not a lot to report back on the beautiful Samford Bulldogs, who are in the Southern Conference. They start their season against the University of West Georgia before playing Florida, then Alabama State, then Furman, VMI, and it goes on. So statistically, Samford, we're just going to run through just a couple things here. Guys, I know you guys don't
Samford
care.
Samford had an FCS first-team All-American quarterback who graduated last year. So statistically, the offense of numbers will be a lot.
Yes.
Will look
Michael,
great last
Michael
year.
Michael Hyers.
Yeah.
Yeah, who threw for 3,056 yards. Not a lot to report. Jay Stanton has graduated as well. He was their leading rusher from last year. Their second leading rusher, DeMonta Witherspoon, is going to tote the rock for them this year. Their leading receiver from last year, Chandler Smith. He looks exactly like you would imagine a Chandler Smith. He's graduated. Ty King, their second leading receiver, also graduated. DJ Reyes, their third wide receiver, also graduated as well. So the upstart Samford Bulldogs will be replacing a lot of offensive talent in this game. This is a game the Gators should win by a lot for a variety of reasons. But the Gators, absolutely, no matter what happens in week one, have to absolutely figure out a way to get DJ Lagway into this game, get him some practice, get him an opportunity to play, and hopefully they're not losing at halftime.
Yeah, I was talking to Zach Albaverde yesterday, and I was like, the hype that Anthony Richardson had that year when Emory Jones was a starter, and you just saw like enough glimpses of him. You probably should have started him. Dan Mullen thumbed his nose, went double birds to the fan base, being like, hey, you guys wanted me to start Anthony Richardson? We'll do it against Georgia this week.
Right.
And I think we were all like, we've waited 3 months. We can wait one more week. Not against the Georgia team that's going to have six guys on defense drafted in the first round, maybe
right
the next week. But you have to get, like, you're not going to get DJ Lagway for 4 years. He's not going to be a college senior if he is at Florida. If he is what he's going to be, what we think he is, he's a three-and-done player. If he isn't what we think he's going to be, he's probably in the portal and going somewhere else. That's just what the nature of college quarterbacks. I mean, you're looking at DJ Ugalele. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, you got it right.
Like, he's on his former number one player in the country. He's on his third school and in his fifth season. Like, those type of quarterbacks aren't going to be at one school for 4 years. There's no point in redshirting DJ, and I think you need to – talking to recruits, guys who are visiting campus, it's wild to hear how they talk about, like, oh, I'm excited to meet DJ Lagway. I'm like, this guy, dude hasn't thrown a pass yet, but he has that kind of aura around him with recruits. You need to build some sort of hype around DJ, manufacture situations for him in games where you can get him a run, a touchdown, a deep pass, a highlight play to show people, hey, listen, I don't care if Graham Mertz throws for 8,000 yards this year. That means nothing to the tight end, wide receiver, offensive lineman you're trying to recruit. Graham Mertz will be 24 years old in December and drafted in February or March, whenever the draft is. Like, you need to show You need to show fans. You need to show recruits, like, hey, this is the guy that you're going to be catching passes from. This is the guy that's going to be leading our team. And I think especially for fans too, like, there's a probably minority of fans, but a loud minority that are like just off the Billy Napier train. And unless he wins 10 games this year, they think he stinks.
I don't know if it's a minority anymore.
Bringing up a comment from the very beginning from our old friend, I'm Army Sniper. Yeah. Billy Napier has been getting hit. Geez Louise, all off season, right? There's been no letting up. For this Gator fan base this offseason?
I think the fan base, like, kind of split 50-50 at this point. Game one is going to be very good, very important for fan morale, recruiting, and a lot of different things going on around the football program. What part of the roster do you guys, like, going into the Miami game or into the season, we're not into fall camp, which room do you guys feel that we need to, like, you know, see some improvement for it to have some progress this year? Are offensive you guys line. Offensive line?
Yeah, I would say
offensive Graham can't get sacked 31 times.
Yeah.
I think we talked last year, like, I don't think there's a huge difference. I think you disagreed, so, but I don't think there's a huge difference between Montrell and Trevor Etienne. I just think Trevor Etienne has a little more burst. So when he broke his first tackle, it was at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And when Montrell was breaking his first tackle, it was 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So when you break two tackles to get 3 yards or just get back to the line of scrimmage, I think that was the difference between them. And that goes to the offensive line. If Florida's going to be successful, they're going to have to be able to run the ball. Graham Mertz is going to have to not be peeling himself off the turf 30 plus times again this year.
I think D-line as well. One of the guys said in the comments, shout out to David, but our pass rush was abysmal last year. Mm-hmm. Princely's gone. We brought in some guys with the portal. We got Slackman, some other guys. And also the linebacker room. Shamar being healthy, bringing in Pup. Like, that front seven getting cheered up. The defense just was – I was losing the little hair I got left, you know, all last season watching my defense. So – that front seven's got to get better with stopping the run and also just getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and I think that those obviously helped the secondary. The secondary was an easy target last year to criticize, and they certainly were not without fault or blame, but when they have to try to block somebody for 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds on an island, it's you're going to get beaten. Things are going to happen. So you got to be able to get after the quarterback. You guys are 100% right there. I think for me, it's just the offensive line, defensive line, everything that you guys said. To add another wrinkle in there is just being able to figure out the difference makers on the offensive side of the ball, right? Like, you know what you have in Montrell Johnson, you know what you have in Trey Wilson, you know, Elijah Badger coming over, you know, how does that translate? Who's your number two wide receiver? Who's your number three wide receiver? Are they going to be able to step up to be able to create some opportunity? You do or you don't?
I love the wide receiver room.
The potential. I just don't know if I love what the contribution has been thus far. Right.
Play calling is more so in like contribution. I guess you're losing Pearsall, who was the number one target last year. But from an ability standpoint, I think Elijah Badger and Trey Wilson just brings a lot of problems for a lot of defenses. It's play calling. And if we can figure that out. But the weapons are there, in my opinion, offensively.
I think you have some weapons. I think it's a matter of Badger's new to the system, new quarterback. Still has some sort of injury concern out there, not enough for Florida not to take him, but that's sitting out there. Shamar DK, obviously had a great couple years with Graham Mertz at Wisconsin, fell off last year, didn't look great in the orange and blue game. Andy Jean is a guy we're hopeful for. Aiden Mizell is a guy that we're hopeful for. So there's some guys that are highly rated in that class. It's just a matter of they're all going to be new, right? Except for Trey Wilson. Khalil Jackson, like what he did at times last year, but he had one, maybe two catches a game, right? So there's going to be some reliance on him. You know, for him to be able to be more than just this, like, show-stopping, like, one time, make that really cool catch, and then you don't hear from him the rest of the game, right? So there's just a lot of different pieces that you look at the talent, it's like it could be there, but I want to see it, and who's going to step up to that role?
Right. A lot of stepping up got to happen this year, like, mm-hmm. all the way around. We was a very young team last year, and that was a lot of excuses of the young snaps that were given out. But it's the SEC, it's big boy football, it's Florida Gators, and sophomores, juniors, all of those young boys got to step up. There's no excuses this fall. The blue chip ratio, then they had us ranked 11th in the country as far as how many blue chippers are on the roster. So it's not a lot of excuses there, bro. Yeah. It's win or you don't this year, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's Napier's roster. There's like 8 guys left over that were signed like by Mullen. Like, this is Billy Napier's roster. You can argue that you can flip a roster much quicker with the transfer portal. Florida and this staff wants to build through high school recruiting and supplement through the portal. I think what they added in the portal this year, specifically on defense, is experience and veteran leadership, because you can use the young excuse, but like, Jordan Castell is not young. He's a sophomore, but he played in every game last year, played more snaps than anybody else on defense. So he's not young anymore. You're going to have a guy like Shamar James, who's a junior, but maybe young in terms of just snaps taken because of his injury last year. Pup Howard's young, but you can't use young as an excuse, like you said. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, and I just want to see some more fundamentally sound football. I want to see us get the right number of players 11. On the field.
With 11 different numbers.
I want to see some better tackling. Then make sure the play call gets in on time. If you're going to call a timeout, let's not get a delay game outside of that. Let's just play some good, sound, fundamental football. And it'll be wild to watch. If they can do that, how much better a team can perform if they don't constantly shoot themselves in the foot.
And if they don't.
If they don't, we'll bring Matt Zenitz back on the show, and we'll talk coaching hot seats for next season. Or coaching
hot seats for next season. When I take my turn, you leave in December.
Yeah, I'll get Pete Thamel on the show. Him and Scott Strickland are boys. So find out where Scott Strickland's next home is. What Florida's going to be doing. So, all right, gentlemen, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
8:31, we going up top, man. We're going to start the season off 1-0. I like our matchup with Mario Cristobal. He's super conservative coming into the swamp. I like my run game. We're not talking a lot about Kane and Daniels, but I think he's going to go absolutely stupid game one. Sort of like ETN. Game one. I think Kane and Daniels going to go stupid. Trey Wilson is going to be a problem. I like our matchup. Their secondary is full. We just got to be able to, you know, keep Reuben Bain and sustain him as much as possible because he's a change, just the difference maker on defense, period. Cam Ward, he has fumbling issues. We just got to keep him in the pocket, contain him for the most part. But Live Stadium, I think, is going to be a lot of problems for them. We got more Miami coverage as we get closer to the season. But rest of the roster, the rest of the schedule is a lot of iffy stuff. But I feel good about the Miami game.
Okay.
I had one question. I thought of it when Adam if we're was
healthy.
Talking.
Health is going to matter. Camp health on both teams
for
is
sure.
Matter.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, maybe one scrimmage instead of two scrimmages in fall camp. Just one.
Okay.
You lost two guys. You lost Justice Boone and Cam Carroll last year.
Yeah, that was brutal. Justice Boone was big brutal. I need him to come back mad this year, bro.
Yeah.
I need Justice Boone to come back with his hair on fire, for sure. Trav, while you out there in Dallas, hurricane's on his way, man. Blessings, stay safe. If anybody that's in Texas,
Trav's a Florida guy. It's a category one.
No, it just dropped.
Dallas, not Houston. So he's fine.
It's not a hurricane anymore. Yeah.
This is a day off work. Extended 4th of July week.
Yeah. No, it's just like the rain at that point, right? Like Brooke just got back from Tulum. She was
flooding.
She stuck there an extra day. But yeah, so they were only like 30 minutes from where, or like, yeah, 30 minutes from where the eye went. You know, we were talking about like tropical storms and depressions, and obviously the hurricanes are really bad for the wind and storm surge and everything else, but those depressions and storms just bring like just monumental amounts of rain, and they're just annoying. So stay safe. Yeah, that stinks. But you're in Dallas, but you'll be all right.
Kyle brings up a great place, that School of Pizza. That's off the beaten path to very, very good pizza. It's like a Greek restaurant, but they have some fire pizza. But I wanted to get, how would you rank, since we're starting off with a rivalry game, how would you rank, in your opinion, you personally, the rivalry games in terms of importance, hatred, whatever metric you want to use?
Like
I'll give you a top three, so you're gonna leave somebody off.
Okay.
And I think the answer to this probably tells people's age, because like growing up, Florida just beat Georgia. Georgia wasn't like a huge game in terms of are you gonna win or lose this. So for me, growing up, it was Florida State. A lot of Florida State friends down in South Florida. Then it was Tennessee. That game was always the first or second game in the SEC. National title implications in September. SEC championship games for sure in September. And then I think I would do Georgia third.
Mm.
Growing up, LSU wasn't really a rivalry, but I think LSU might even be. I really enjoy the Florida-LSU game.
Mm-hmm. I think we got the same order. I got the same order. Florida State for me. My brother was only Florida State fan in the family. We shared
black
a bedroom. Yeah, bro. No pun intended. Definitely the black sheep.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
And I think it's the same order. I would go Tennessee just from that era. Like, now it's probably flipped from my childhood and most of my Gator life. Now I probably flipped that to Georgia since they've been getting some hella get back. But it's the same order. Florida, Tennessee, Georgia.
Tennessee, Georgia.
Yeah,
Florida State, Tennessee, Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would agree that was the order for a while. I think now it's Georgia, Florida State, LSU.
Florida State stays one for me.
Yeah.
Them the ops.
Yeah, but I don't even know where Miami would be on that list for me. Growing up in South Florida. I was around Miami a lot, so I just thought their fans were just kind of annoying. But I don't even know if it's like really like a rivalry. I know that we're in the same state, but I don't even know if it's like much of a rivalry for me.
But it's like Florida Auburn. If you talk to somebody, a Gator fan who was born in the 60s or 70s,
right.
Florida Auburn's a great historic traditional rival. And it's like Florida plays Texas A&M more than they play Auburn.
Right. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I miss our now yearly rivalry with Vanderbilt going away.
I miss the biannual trip to Nashville. That's what I miss. It's a crying shame. Also, like, what are we doing? I'm looking at Missouri's schedule versus Florida's, and I'm just like, Missouri plays like, I think, like Alabama and Oklahoma, and then they get like South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and I'm just like, you could have thrown me a Nashville trip. You could have Nashville and Austin in the same year,
and woo, somehow you would have made the Nashville trip negative somehow.
Yeah, somehow. There's something about an 11 a.m. kickoff. It's cold and rainy. You know what I mean? We can tell it from a rival.
On a personal vibe, any trip to Nashville is fantastic.
Yeah. My brother calls it the white Atlanta.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Music. Big in the
yeah,
music.
Yes.
Scene.
I've always known Atlanta as a big music scene at like bars and restaurants.
Yeah. No.
And Magic City.
They got a Magic City in Nashville too.
They have a Pink Pony.
Pink Pony.
Mm-hmm. Not that you would know. Yeah, maybe drove past it once.
Oh yeah, I mean it's close to downtown.
Yeah. Pink Pony sounds like an experience.
There's one in Atlanta too. I think there's a few of them.
I think the Pink Pony in Atlanta is a little different though.
No.
No.
No. Calling Nashville the White Atlanta is funny.
Is it? I haven't been, but that's what my brother calls it.
My parents just went up there. Then my parents just went up with my godparents and another couple. First time they were in Nashville, loved it.
My brother loved it. I got to get out there, bro. Last time I was about to go, we lost to Vanderbilt, and I was so glad I didn't go. Because that would have ruined my first experience in Nashville.
Oh, we would have made it a lot better real quick. get you out to the stage, get you on the honky tonk, singing "Friends of Low Places" with somebody just trying to make it.
That's a vlog. Silk getting fitted for some cowboy boots.
Yeah, going to
alligator Robert cowboy Western boots, world. $900.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, man. I got ready to do that Stetson. D. Gordon interview, so I was like, we were going to a farm, so I was like, let me go get me some boots, and I walked into the boot store, and was I surprised.
Yeah.
There's a couple zeros.
You
think there might be one zero? There's a couple zeros.
Every boot I liked was like crazy expensive. I was just like, I can't afford the pythons, baby. I gotta get up out of here.
Yeah,
it's not on a rim. Right. Never wearing these boots again. Nah, I'm cool. Yeah. DK, what's up, man? Congrats on the kid again, bro.
Corey, you have song of the week, my friend.
Oh, I do. Okay. Make this sweet and easy.
Yeah, well, you do that. We appreciate everybody for watching. If you're still watching, hit the subscribe button before you leave. Hit the like button, too. Share with your friends, families, neighbors. Share with your Miami friends so they could watch and learn a little bit more about their team. Other than that, make sure you support our sponsors over at Home Field Apparel, Game Time, Sidekicks, and Alumni Hall. Alumni Hall's promo code is Stadium and Gale. Game Time Sidekicks promo code is Stadium15. Corey is going to take us out.
Yeah, let me get Free Fall by Sai Ari the Kid. Just went what was on the top of my light Spotify list right now.
It sounds like it's very similar to my Rattlin' Bog from a week or two ago. Probably same genre.
I don't know.
It's like hip-hop R&B type vibe. This is a little different.
Mine was Irish drinking. So, okay.
I can see the correlation.
Yeah, I see the correlation for sure. All right, gentlemen, we appreciate you guys for watching. We'll see you at the same corner, same time next week. And go Gators.
Got two options. Win is win and lose is lose. You uncomfortable yet? Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Bass jumping while the bass bumping. In the back burning cookies, easy bake oven. Gotta hurry up, cause my date rushing. The funny thing is that she's still from Georgia. If you ever pull my card, then I'm straight flushing. Pull up to the club with a Kate Upton. Picked her up in the 745. 30 minutes later, winning eight something. I'm a Mac, money long like the space button. Huh. Niggas grilling, but that ain't nothing. Don't make me take your bitch place hunting. Let me get the dope without the cash, nigga. Stay frontin'. Huh. I'm a zone six nigga. Chrome kit nigga. Four phones, six figures. Go home. Thick stripper, ozone. Big dipper, mobile home. Brick shipper, soapstone. In the kitchen, postpone. Rappers album when they hear my shit, nigga. Never twist switches, Dutch palmer, quick tripper. But they always running out, so I hit the Chevron. Text my nigga GB, get a zipper Exxon. Make up sex with your girl, pillow kiss with Revlon. We was fucking on the stairs, them that had a stepson. So watch your mouth, little nigga.
Yeah,
cause
I know some things nobody knows.
Shh.
Can't trap my mind, can't take my soul.
Woo.
Turn off the heat, I feel life is so cold. And I can't call it.
Hey.
But they keep calling. Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm falling.
Yeah.
Feels like the whole world is falling. Falling.
Let me pause for a second. These niggas ain't good here like Becky. You would think all I drink is no second. Bullshit raps mixed in with the message. That mean I got some karma coming in with the blessing. Working out, I'm getting Gucci man fit. Through them hula hoops again. Oh, that's hooligan shit. Direct deposits every day. I'm driving Uber and Lyft. I gotta keep a side hustle. Gotta do the sax. Fifth. I done linked up with the king. Now these bitches wanna ring. Ain't it funny when I run? You ain't answer. Ain't it funny? Play dumb when I at you. Used to DM. You act like you ain't see them. Now ain't it funny? I don't blame you, baby. You just want the bag. And you don't really care like if a nigga texts back. As long as you stunting on the nigga from your past. And you know I be always down the hill with that. But I know some things nobody knows. When you catch a grip, I let go. Vision ain't clear, only thing 2020 be the mad dog. This gon' be the year the fake people take the mask off. Thinking about my future, still trying to shake my past off. Like a mad ball. Translate.
Hey, I feel like I'm the man right now. Feel like you don't understand right now. In the block so hot. I think I can catch a tan right now. I think I need to buy another fan right now. Your enemies looking like fam right now. Your favorite rapper sending me his mixtape links. But the mean mail's looking like spam right now. Yeah, free fall looking up, my nigga. In the kitchen cooking up, my nigga. Done with the bullshit, I took enough, my nigga. Never let a hoe say I shouldn't trust my nigga. Fuck famous, I'd rather be rich. You rather be that, I'd rather be this. And I got the juice, I gradually sip. Some wanna be bishop, I'd rather be bliss. And with all these customers, I'm accustomed. They playing catch up, ran out of mustard. And it's a must that I hit the function. With all my wifeies, they think I'm Muslim. Hey, aren't you playing, baby, JK? Ay. I'm free falling and we balling. The streets calling and we came to finish what we started. And I'm free. Sorry. Free falling. Said I'm free. Hey. Free falling.